we can come sit under the power of your word. So let's lift up Roland to you now, Lord. Give him wisdom as he brings your word, Father. In your precious name we pray that. Amen.
Amen. Donnie, I wonder if you and Angelique could just come to the front here quickly. Is this not working? Is it Anya?
Okay. I don't know.
Okay. Is that working now? Put up a bit, Heinrich. Vaughan's not allowed to go and leave when I'm preaching. Anyway, Donnie and Angelique are going to be coming on to eldership with us at the 412 gathering that we spoke about. And so I'm really excited about that. I hope you guys are. Because we really need someone else, with Andre having gone across to Durbanville. And Donnie's actually been on this eldership probably almost from the time that it started. So he's been here, what, 11, 12 years?
Yeah, 12.
About 12 years, so it's nice to have an experienced hand, somebody that knows everybody, and we're looking forward to them serving with us. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Angelique. Can you put up that first scripture for me, Yandri? Okay, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Maybe you've never known why we are part of 412. 412 is actually the scripture that is used for 412, Ephesians 4:12. So if 4:12, this is the sentence we lock ourselves into, is to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So equip us so that we're able to go and do the work that needs to be done. You can't wait for me and Donnie and Ruan to do the work. It's not going to happen. But if we can only accomplish so much in our own strength. And so we're looking for you guys to join together with us so that we're able to do to equip the saints. But then the scripture I'm preaching on this morning is, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The one thing I can say to you this morning is that all of us are called to maturity. Even in the physical, whether you like it or not, you're going to get older. And what I always say to Patty, and she said, I can't say it this morning, but I'm going to say it. I tell her, we're actually born so that we can die. Not very encouraging, but we are born in the flesh so that we can die in the flesh. We have an opportunity during that time to decide where we are going to fit in. And maturity is like reaching towards a goal. Something that the apple on the tree that you're going to get, because as you go for it, it lifts up and then you try even harder to get it. I don't know if you've ever pinched fruit when you were young. But the way you do it is you grab the branch and then you pull it down so that you can grab the fruit. And then if you let it go by mistake, it in the face. But we are called to reaching a goal. We are called to maturity. We're called to live for more than ourselves. And it's something that never stops your whole life. It doesn't matter how mature you become. You never get there. You continually pushing on into what Jesus Christ has for you. And in James 1 and verse 4, it says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That word perseverance, what does it mean? It actually means something that most people, well, a part of it, that most people don't know what it means. It actually means to be hopeful. We see it as a bad word, but it's actually to be hopeful and to be consistent in what we do. So we need to be those that are moving towards becoming like Jesus. So that's why I'm saying we never ever get to the end of the journey. We're always traveling towards Jesus to become more and more like Him. Anyone here reached Him yet? You can come preach. Maturity will result in involvement without imposition. Hey, isn't that lack of a church? You get involved, not because you're told you have to get involved, but you get involved because you want to get involved. I've been in churches before I led them where it was imposed on us. And I really hope that doesn't happen in the life of this church. I've only been here a year, so I don't know exactly the workings of everything, but there seems to be a joy and a wanting to do what people are doing. And I just trust that we as a church never impose on you. It never comes from the outside, but it comes from the inside. And I have seen a lot of that value in the life of this church. I really have. Except for all those that are missing today. It's amazing how everyone decided today. Ruan wanted the day off, and Vaughn wanted the day off, and Tian went somewhere else with Corlia. It's unbelievable. It's like, I'm sure the devil, somebody said to the devil, hey, don't go to church today. So if you're here today and you're not normally here, I really appreciate you this morning. I trust God blesses you. But maturity will result in involvement without imposition is when your children are small, you have to tell them, brush your teeth. You have to tell everything that they do, make your bed. I don't know if they do that. Put your cups. My son's favorite thing was, put your cups in the kitchen when you finished with them. Maybe that's some of your... Okay. But there are adults that do the same thing. Oh, did DJ not go out? Okay. But what you do then, as a parent, this is what we did with our kids. I don't know about you, but when we got ready to go out, the clothes they put on were like, ooh. Now, I don't think they should put those clothes on. And generally, moms worry a lot about what clothes their girls put on, and boys are not too important. Oh, yeah. She used to like, how can you dress like that to go out? You guys that haven't got children yet, you'll see once you have children. And as they get older, you can suggest to them that, what about wearing those clothes or those clothes? And then standing back and actually watching them make a good decision. Not a foolish decision. This is really important. Without maturity, we become legalistic or we become licentious. If we have to be told what to do all the time, we become legalistic. Folks, this is for the church as well. If you only do something when someone tells you to do it, you're going to become legalistic. It's going to be a problem eventually. Because people don't like to be told what to do, but actually they're bringing it on themselves by not just walking in what God wants them to walk. If we don't mature or allow choices too early, parents, don't allow your children choices too early. Because they become licentious. They don't understand the freedom that you've given them. And so they start to do things that they actually shouldn't be doing. And I want to say to you guys, and I'm going to have to say it again, this is why we have leaders in the church. I think sometimes people think, why do we have leaders? No, we have leaders to make sure we give you a helping hand. We don't force you to do something, and we don't leave you to just do what doesn't need to happen. We help you guys make the right decisions. It's really important that you find yourself in that place. What's it called? In Josh Jen, it's got a big word. It's called accountability. Accountability. You know what? Accountability, when we think of accountability, we think of it as a loss of our freedom. But you know what? Accountability actually brings freedom. And you will walk in accountability when you are maturing in Christ. So this is the advice I can give you. When you have a decision to make, that's a big decision to make, go to your leaders. Ask them for their perspective. Hey, Andrew, what do you think about this car that I'm going to buy? You know, most of you don't know too much about cars. You think you do. You can change the spare wheel, but you don't really know how a car works. And so before you buy a car, you go to Andrew and you say, Andrew, could you just look over this car for me and give me an idea of should I buy this car or shouldn't I buy this car? Because I tell you what, you can buy a car and very quickly you lose all your money. It's a very expensive thing to have problems with. So in the same way, we have other guys that do other stuff that are good at other things. I don't know what I'm good at, but I'm good at keeping my wife in hand. So when you get good advice, you can make a good decision. Hey? Not a you have to do this, but hey, if I was you, I'd have a look at this thing over here. There's an oil leak and the alternator's not working properly and the battery's not working properly. Hey? That's what I'm saying. People do buy those cars. Or they buy them slightly better that they're actually running, but then as soon as they buy them, within the first 1,000 kilometers, they're like... So it's not checking up. It's not seeing what you do and making sure that you do it and stuff like that. No, it's there to give you advice. If you want to take the day off like all these other people have taken off today, and I'm not being horrible, hey? I'm really not being horrible about those guys. If you need to take the day off, you take the day off. But don't take every Sunday off. Really, you know what? Just phone Donnie. Hey, Donnie, is there anything for me to do? Is there anything I can help with? No, there isn't. Would you mind if I take the day off? No, go for it. I'm sure the leaders are not going to say go for it once a month type of thing. I know you'd like that, but we can't allow that. We can't have licentiousness. Leaders have been given the responsibility of watching over those that they are responsible for. Do you know what? You might not know this, but the Bible says one day those that are in leadership will stand before God and we will give account for the people that we have overseen. And let me tell you, that's a scary thing. There have been many times in my life when I've, for whatever reason, I haven't been able to do what I should be doing, and I come under such guilt for a start, which that's not from God, but then you just feel the responsibility of, hey, this is your responsibility. I'm looking to you to look after these people. And we think, oh, no, we're not responsible for someone else's salvation. No, you're not responsible for their salvation, but you are responsible for the way they live their life. If they're doing stuff that they shouldn't, and you're not prepared to say to them in love, hey, I really feel what you're doing is not great. Not telling them, hey, but hey, I really feel that you need to change that. I want to say to you guys that the leaders in this church have your best interests at heart. I really believe that. If they're giving you a hard time and not looking after you, please come and tell Donnie. But guys, I want to tell you that we understand how God loves you, and we understand that you are our responsibility. We are. So if I, Karen, maybe you can tell me this. I always ask Karen the word stuff, or Penny, one of the two. When you teach something from the negative sense, has that got a word? Not. Okay. Anyway, this morning I want to look at what spiritual growth is not. Sometimes we always look at what spiritual growth is, but sometimes we look at what it's not, so that God can actually come and do some surgery. The first thing, believe it or not, spiritual growth is not measured by time. How many of us think, oh, that oak's been saved forever? He must be spiritually mature. But they're not. Sometimes people grow up in church. I've got the really bad testimony of my son growing up in church. And if I don't start crying, I'll be good. He grew up in church, played in the worship team, was the worship team leader. And Patty found a packet of cigarettes in his pocket. Not that that had to stop him, but I think he was looking for any excuse to get out of church. And he's totally backslidden now. I had to actually tell him this weekend that I can't do his wedding. Because he said to me, you can't pray, you can't preach. How can I do this wedding? And guys, hear my heart. My heart's broken, and I'll be there to love him, to care for him. But what do I do if I can't preach? What do I do? I don't know what I do. You know, if at least if he is open, Patty said to him, can we pray for you? And he said, no, you can't pray. No scripture, no nothing. When we're in the church, we bless that. But you know what? He grew up in the church. He grew up as a worship leader. He grew up as our child in the house. But actually, he was not spiritually mature. He was not moving to maturity. And so we continue to pray for him. If you guys ever pray, his name's Joel. I'm waiting because I'm catching the Trana, yeah? But you know what? As I say, the length in church does mean nothing. Guys, you know what? If you've got children, don't take it for granted. I didn't take it. he's baptized, he used to speak in tongues. Still doesn't serve the Lord anymore. Yeah. Sadly, there are a lot of people who demonstrate very little growth in the life of the church. Very little growth. They look like they're really doing well and whatnot, but if you prod them a bit, there's no scripture inside of them that comes out or some prayer that comes out, and they're able to pray and they're able to do stuff. We really should be able to just stand and pray. Not always have others pray for us. Nothing wrong with that. But there must come a time when you're praying for other people as well. And so there's no prayer life, there's no understanding of the word. And then something that normally happens is that those people become very involved in squabbles and arguments. Andrew touched on this the last time he preached. But Hebrews 5 and verse 14, it says, "But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." And then verse 1, "Therefore let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity." You know what? One of the sure signs of maturity is when we can distinguish good from evil. If we cannot distinguish good from evil, we're going to have problems in our marriage. We're going to have problems in our parenting, with our friends. We need to distinguish good from evil. I'm not talking about the devil evil, although he can be behind it sometimes. I'm talking about those times when you're at home and you're with your wife and this happens, I don't know why. But we're standing around at home, we're doing stuff, and the next minute one of the spouse will just let rip. Yeah, it never happens with us. We should always be quick to forgive. The next one that people also have the mistake of believing is that spiritual growth is related to knowledge. It's not, guys. You know what? I've got a long scripture here. It's the scripture Matthew 7:24. You can write it down to 27. It's the one about the man goes to build his house and he builds it on the rock. The one guy. And the other guy goes to build his house and he builds it on the sand. Leon, do you know the song? Built, how's it going? On the sandy land. See, they do know. He knows it in Afrikaans, okay. But yeah, we don't build. At the beginning of that scripture, he says, "If you put my words into action, when you build your house, it'll be like you build it on a rock." So what am I saying? I'm saying knowledge is not about what we know in our head. It's about what drops into our hearts and we live it out. Too often you'll walk up to someone in the church and you ask them something and they just start quoting scriptures and stuff to you and you don't really know what they're going on about. But when you see them outside, they're living a totally different lifestyle. For me, that's a problem. You're not growing. That is not spiritual growth. So it's not what you know, but how we live and what your foundation is, because it speaks about Jesus Christ being the foundation of our faith. You look at the Pharisees. Those guys knew the word better than Andrew, and that's very well. The Pharisees, they knew the word, but they were trying to kill Jesus all the time. And they're supposed to be guys that knew the word. They had the knowledge. I like to always say this. That was observation. We need revelation. Next one, spiritual growth that is not about gifting, it's about character. Spiritual growth is not about gifting, it's about character. I knew I was going to run out of time, that's all. Gifting is what God gives you for others. Character is about you growing fruit for others. Much harder thing to do. So when people come up and they, in the name of Jesus, or they come and they prophesy over you, I'm not saying that's wrong, but don't judge their spirituality by the gifts that they have. Don't. You're going to make a mistake. Spiritual growth has nothing to do with temporal success. This is probably the easiest one for you guys to grab onto. We must be careful we don't buy into the idea of success. The size of the church, level of the influence one may have, material goods and prosperity are not indicators of spirituality. God will bless you, but you don't have to keep your eyes on that stuff all the time. Okay, one more illustration, then we'll be finished. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. You'll enjoy this one. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. So I've got you three levels. The first level is infancy. Now, I'm not talking babies, I'm talking spiritually. First level, infancy. And the sentence that goes with this is that others live to benefit me. Others live to benefit me. Why is that? You see a little baby. Change its nappy, feed it, do everything. We run. When we hear that baby, we are like, shh. Feed me, change me. Next level is adolescence. Now, we must be careful we don't get caught up in this one. We live to benefit one another. So I go to Andrew, and Andrew gives me a meal, and it's a really lekker meal because Teresa made it, not him. And as I'm leaving, I say to Andrew, hey, we're going to invite you for a meal now because you gave us a meal. It's not right. You're living for the benefit of one another. Now, I'm not telling you not to ask people for meals. I'm trying to illustrate a point. Adolescence as well is normally where the children go to their matric dance. And so can you imagine the matric dance? The girl comes down the stairs, she's all dressed beautifully, she's ready for this matric dance, and her mom says, come here, let me check your nappy. Make sure that it's clean. It's true, that's what happens. Spiritually, that's what happens. Then when We move to adult. We live to benefit others. We don't live for ourselves anymore. We live for others. And you all know the Josh Jen saying, dying to live. We die so that we can live. Dying to self and living for others. Let me tell you, you can never be a leader in the church without doing that, because people you lead don't want to die for self, die to self. They rather just keep going. So Lindy, I wonder if you could shoot up to your keyboard, seeing as though your partner's outside. Guys, I want you to take this message home. And I want you to think about it. It's a simple message, but you know what? It opens up our hearts for living for other people and not for ourselves. Or maybe you're still an infant. Maybe you can get up to the stage of, hey, now they invite me and I invite them. So let's do that. Let's make the effort. And I'm not talking about meals now. I'm talking about for each other. Phone calls. Just how are you? How are you doing? Just the simple things. We don't have to try and go from here to over there all in one shot. We just got to do the small things. And God wants to bless you guys. He really does. I wonder if we could all just stand together this morning. The guys had prayed for me this morning because I'm not well, but not well in terms of cold. And if you don't know, I had open heart surgery. They cut my chest open and it hasn't healed properly. So, and they suggested that I go and have it repaired, and I said no ways, because that operation, I went into severe depression for 6 or 7 months. I'd rather take the depression. Depression is terrible. It really is. It is for me. I've said to Patty, she says, how can you say that? For me, it is the worst sickness that you can have. I don't care about other physical stuff and those sort of things. When you've had depression, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about one day you felt down and the next day you're up. No, I'm talking about down. It was difficult and it was really hard for me. So this morning, I just want to pray for those that need prayer, not only depression or whatever, but if you feel that you need prayer this morning, that you need healing, I wonder if you could just come to the front here. Ooh, it's good that no one does. That's cool.